2 Timothy chapter 3. Title of our thoughts tonight, I Believe. Now, I would presume that most of you know what I believe. Even you that are watching online, I presume you know what I believe. But I thought I would, on this last Wednesday that I am your pastor, give you some thoughts on things that I believe. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll beginning at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished unto all good works. May I say this? We that have been saved for any length of time should strive to be mature. We should strive to be, as we could say, adults. That we are no longer children in the faith. And that we are able to do that which is right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for these that are here with us and for those watching online. That you would bless the scriptures used, that you would bless the thoughts given. Lord, we now ask that you would be with the Covenant Baptist Church. That, Lord, as a new man comes into position, that we will give him support. And that, Lord, you would use him in a mighty way here at this outpost of faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. In these days of apostasy and a great falling away from the truth of God's word, I believe it is well to state for the record what I believe. Three main areas of concern in our churches today is marriage and divorce and remarriage, of music and Bible versions. But there are so many other areas that are important. And though I give just a few here, there's many others that we could have added. But number one, I believe that the Holy Bible is God's inspired and preserved word for the world. That it is inspired and it is preserved. God is able to keep his word so that we can have it. I believe in the verbal inspiration of the scriptures. As 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad that we have the Word of God? We have it as our own possession. I also believe that God has preserved his Word and made it available to us today. Last Thursday, we had Brother Lockyer here representing Beams, and their desire to send Bibles around the world to missionaries. And as you know, last week, we said that we would send 8 boxes of Bibles, and you gave a good amount of money towards that. And Pastor Stephen and I were up there, $619, I believe it was, in sending out those boxes. And, you know, there are those that are going to receive them happily. I believe in the authority and the autonomy of the local New Testament church, that each local church is an independent body and cannot be controlled by anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ It is independent and self-ruled. In other words, the nearest Baptist church in the area can't come around and tell us what we ought to do. We are an independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. While it is certain that the Lord has blessed and used Christian schools, Bible colleges, mission agencies, and other worthwhile organizations, none of them is a substitute for the local church. The church is to be the lighthouse to send forth the gospel. If you go down to Kentucky and you visit the Creation Museum or go down further to the Ark, you'll find that these are fine things, but they do not replace the church. And Brother Ken Ham makes it very clear that he wants to help Bible-believing churches because Jesus Christ died for the church. I believe, said Tommy Raley, that the Lord Jesus gave the Great Commission to the local church and that the mission of each church is to fulfill the Great Commission. I thought that was kind of cute the way he said that. Let me repeat it. He said, I believe that the Lord Jesus gave the Great Commission to the local church and that the mission of each church is to fulfill the Great Commission. That if we are not sending forth the gospel, then we really have no reason to be here. And you know, the sad thing is that there are many that today, they spend the majority of their money simply on their building and what they're doing. Now, this may be well, but we are supposed to send the gospel, not only in this area, but around the world. We gather in the house of God to worship, to pray, and fellowship. Don't you like good fellowship? I'm looking forward to the Sunday. I hope you are. And fellowshipping, not only in the morning service, but also afterwards as we have that pulled pork. Yes, and we have other things that are going to be here also, and we're going to be fellowshipping. But our responsibility is to send forth the gospel, baptizing believers, and teaching them their responsibility as God's followers. It is our responsibility. Now, I know some people don't like responsibility. But yet it is the church's responsibility to make sure that the Word of God is being preached. It is your responsibility to make sure that your preacher is preaching the Word of God. You know, I could come here with a joke book and I could tell you 25 or 30 jokes and you'd laugh and you'd smile and you'd say, well, that was good. But that's not what it's all about. I could come in and give you tearjerker thoughts. And I could tell you about this story or that story. But that's not what it's about. It's about the proclaiming of the Word of God. And I believe that too many churches are falling short in their responsibility to preach the gospel. Next, I believe that God still calls men to preach the gospel, and that many, unfortunately, are not answering his call. That God is still calling men and women to go and to start churches. I appreciated Brother Jim McCourt last Friday telling us of the church there just outside of Toledo that he and his wife have begun and how the Lord has blessed and they were able to buy a perfectly good building. Well, they had to do some work to it, but at a very reduced price. And to be there is a lighthouse for the cause of Christ. You know, my dad came here many years ago, and with the help of a good number of people, they began the Covenant Baptist Church. You know, God still calls men and women to take the gospel. not only here in the United States of America, but around the world. And can I tell you this? That we need to start churches in America so that we can have more churches that will support missionaries that can take the gospel. It's important that this happens. Next, I believe that God's people should practice holiness in their lives and abstain from the very appearance of evil. Now, when I give you that thought, I'm stepping on my own toes because it is hard to practice holiness. Why is it hard to practice holiness? Because we're sinners. Well, I'm a sinner anyways. I don't know if any of you are. But we're sinners, right? And sin creeps in and temptations creep in, and it's a battle day by day to live a right and proper life. But yet that should be our desire. Sadly today, it is sometimes difficult to tell the difference between many believers and the unsaved because they do not live as they should. And that's sad. But there are many today that say they are born again believers, that they're Christians, and you cannot tell by their lifestyle or by their dress or by their talk because they look and act just like the world. The Bible still says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." Now, I can tell you this from what I know of Brother Ken Lance, that he could preach this very same sermon next Wednesday. Because the things that I'm telling you I believe your dad believes. Because it's what we need to teach and preach. I believe that marriage is God ordained for one man and for one woman for one lifetime. I believe even in this day and age where so many people are saying we need to be tolerant and we need to understand that not everybody believes the way you do, I believe the Bible way. I believe the Bible tells us that God has a plan, and it's one man with one woman for a lifetime. And that we need to understand that homosexual activity is a sin before God. And he has judged other nations for this grievous sin. America cannot expect to escape the judgment of God for allowing this sin to flourish. Now, he destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains because of this very sin. And at some point in time, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to have to bring judgment on our country or apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that's what I believe. And I believe that we need to understand that we need godly families. Because godly families make godly churches. And godly churches make godly nations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we need to remember that. I believe that life begins at conception. And abortion is murder. I believe that in this society, where millions of innocent lives have been snuffed out by this terrible sin, that once again, God will bring judgment, not only upon America, but upon the world. Oh, do you think God has already brought judgment on the world? And may I say this, and this is a personal opinion, we think COVID or COVID-19 was bad. Wait till the next one comes down the road. And it's coming. And judgment has come to the world because of our sinful ideas about life and when it begins. And the right of so-called women to have the ability to end their child's life. I believe that God hates sin. Does that bother you? That God hates sin? But You know, the word but can really change a whole thought, can it? I believe that God hates sin, but loves sinners. Aren't you glad that he loves sinners? Are you not glad that he loves you? Are you not glad that he loves you no matter how sinful you have been? The proof of this is the fact that the Lord Jesus came to earth to die for our sins and rose again for our justification. He came. That's why he came to earth. It's why he was put within the Virgin Mary, and she bore him, and he grew up here. He came to die for your sin. Okay? He would have come to save just one if only one would accept. But he came to die for all mankind. For your friends, for your relatives, for those that lived 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, etc. God would have all people come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should what? Perish. But that all should come to what? Repentance. John the Baptist proclaimed the need to repent. Jesus Christ declared the same thing, that we need to repent. The Apostle Paul preached that repentance was needed, as did the other disciples. But in order for them to repent, they must hear the gospel. Would you please turn to Romans chapter 10? Romans chapter 10. We'll begin reading at verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that Christ hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Aren't you glad for that statement? Even though we're not Greeks, it represents us. That he died not just for the Jew, but also for the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If you would, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We find the precious words that Paul wrote to that body of believers in Ephesus, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God, don't you love that right there, but God who is rich in mercy. Do you thank God for the mercy he gives us? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In conclusion, some of what I have said tonight is not popular today, but nevertheless, I believe it, and I'm not ashamed of it. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, may it always be part of our lives. Lord, may these that are watching online and these that are sitting here in this auditorium remain faithful to the Word of God until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.